Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swath Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm not going to miss my shot, Luke. I am. I'm not going to miss my shot.
This is a Hamilton thing, I believe, right?
This is a Hamilton thing.
Because you did a Hamilton thing on a podcast once and you got the words wrong and people let you know that you got the words wrong.
I change the words frequently to often fit the activity I'm doing at the time. So it might be, let's watch Peep Show. Let's watch Peep Show.
Is that to a Hamilton theme song?
Would you please go put the kettle on? Let's sit down.
Is that from Hamilton?
That is. Okay. Alexander Hamilton.
Okay.
Alexander Hamilton.
I've never seen it.
There's a million things I haven't done.
Have any interest in seeing
just it you wait. It's really good.
I'm sure it's great, mate, but it's just like, I'm not asked.
I don't think, obviously there's going to be a film version coming out next year, hopefully, depending on shooting schedules. But as of this Friday, you'll be able to watch a 2017 performance with the original cast on Disney Plus.
And you know what? Like, you know, Disney Plus hasn't managed to get me in yet, hasn't managed to get its claws into me yet. Not even with The Mandalorian, not with Hamilton, but the new Muppet series starts at the end of July. So that could get me in.
What's the gimmick with the Muppets? Because I remember when they did a sort of mockumentary style Muppets, which was such a good idea, but it just wasn't that good.
Yeah, they sort of missed the mark on it a little bit. Yeah, this is like, I think it's like a series of shorts and stuff, but like they released a trailer for it and it's got, you know, it feels quite Muppety because there's loads of guest stars and things like that. The only problem really is that Matt Vogel is a terrible Kermit. He's the new Kermit taken over from Steve Whitman, and he's very bad. It almost sounds like he's never heard what Kermit sounds like.
How many Kermits have there been?
Three. So it was Henson, Whitmire, and then Steve Whitmire took over from Henson after Henson passed. But really, like, I mean, we could get into the show in a minute. Let's talk about the more important stuff here. But really, Henson, because people said like, oh, well, Whitmire was never as good as Henson. And like, he never really should have taken over the role. But the reality is Henson was going to step down from Kermit before he died. Because like Muppet Take Manhattan, he'd just given all the reins to Frank Oz and was like, the Muppets kingdom is now yours. I'm not interested in it anymore. I want to go make this darker stuff like Dark Crystal and Labyrinth. That's what I'm more interested in. But before I go, can you put this Muppet Babies thing into Muppet Take Manhattan? Because I've already signed a merchandising deal to do Muppet Babies, and I think it's going to be a massive cash cow. And then he died. But Steve Whitmire took over for Muppet Christmas Carol.
The Muppet Babies and all of like the humanoid babies that are Muppets in Muppets Take Manhattan. Is it Muppets Take Manhattan? What's the one where they get married?
Yeah, that's Muppet Takes Manhattan.
Yeah. Are terrifying. They're like the dolls that you find in an old dead relative's attic.
Just going to double check. I was trying
they
to
look haunted. They don't look puppeteered.
Yeah, I think it's from The Great Muppet Caper, actually.
Okay. Well, wherever they were from, yes, they definitely came from nightmares. They star in nightmares.
But yeah, anyway, should we get into the show? Because we've got a big talking point. Then I've just had a quick skim of the general chat that's in the YouTube thing. And people are, oh, mate, you've angered some people. Because we're asking the question that Ollie 100% agrees with. That Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard are way better than Paul Heyman, who was a big smelly dum-dum who couldn't book anything.
You can't besmirch Heyman's name. Everything he did was flawless. Nothing ages badly.
Here is the show.
We're 3 weeks into this era after Paul Heyman was removed as executive director earlier this month, and then we had Backlash, greatest wrestling match of all time. And then we've had like a sort of interim changeover part of Raw, and then we've had 2 weeks of solid McMahon-Pritchard booking, and that is last week's Championship Monday, which saw a load of title defenses without any build, really, short matches, and just a really scatterbrain approach to stuff. And then this week, I would argue that settled down a bit into quite a fun, frantic way where everyone had something to do, and crucially, there's some really strong characters and matches coming off the back of it. I'm mainly talking about Sasha Banks and Asuka, which I'm incredibly into. This is a title for debate. It's not something we're saying outright, but I must admit, although I thought this was overall an average episode of Raw, there is something to it. It's not the doom and gloom that I expected.
What Ollie is saying is that Paul Heyman was a garbage person who has never booked anything good in his life, and he loves Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and their vision for what wrestling should be. Just so we're all on the same page with this, Ollie does not like Paul Heyman and thought that building new stars was a terrible idea.
Okay, so I know you're being facetious here and trolling. However, the last couple of weeks of Raw has had something. And it is this sort of star presence that's been lacking. I know Big Show has no like place being around in 2020. Same with Ric Flair. And then, you know, the Christian stuff. However, it does feel that sort of level of sports entertainment, that sort of big level of showmanship that Vince McMahon has built his whole company around and sort of turned modern day mainstream wrestling into that style. And if you look back at all the Paul Heyman stuff, granted, he was somewhat hampered by whatever Vince would say yes and no to. The Paul Heyman stuff was a bit repetitive.
Well, I mean, we've said it quite a few times on this show that Heyman is not without his flaws, and not everything that he did in his era of Raw was perfect. You know, the Rusev-Lashley storyline was bad. The Micah Maria Kanellis stuff was bad. He was doing that sort of shock jock stuff that you would have done in the late 90s. And kind of in fairness, on the flip side of that, Pritchard and McMahon are doing Attitude Era style, not storytelling, but booking of a show, which is heavy emphasis on interviews, heavy emphasis on backstage segments, low emphasis on in-ring wrestling. Because in-ring wrestling back in the day was what used to turn viewers off. Viewers would tune in to watch the characters cut promos and do in-ring segments and skits and whatnot. And then as soon as a match would start, flick over to Nitro and see if they had some in-ring segments and stuff going over there. So what they've done is that they are putting more emphasis back onto that as opposed to the in-ring wrestling. And, you know, in fairness, the ratings have gone up since they took over. As you said, like, McMahon has essentially created the casual audience wrestling. He's cultivated this over the last 30, 40 years. And now he's just going back to what he knows. And Pritchard knows what Vince McMahon will say yes to. So the pair of them together are just putting together these shows for casual fans. And in some sense, that does work.
I wonder how loaded, well, obviously the title's very loaded, but we keep calling this the McMahon-Pritchard era, as if the previous year was just the Heyman era. But it never was. It was always the McMahon-Heyman era. So if we started calling this the Pritchard era, maybe people would be more open to praising it a bit more, because you've got the stuff like the Rusev angle, the Kanellis stuff. I imagine that was Heyman trying to pop Vince.
Yeah.
And it failed for everyone. And Bruce has had that problem as well with the dog food stuff over on SmackDown with Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin. And that, you know, like the sort of the Sheamus Jeff Hardy, you're in the brain storyline.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a replay of the McMahon Shawn Michaels storyline from before.
And reports are that Vince McMahon found it hilarious and could not stop laughing at it.
Low bodily fluids. So I that this was a lot reported at a lot of the time when Pritchard was given the position over Heyman earlier this month, and that is, Pritchard knows how to work within the confines of McMahon more, whereas Heyman would slowly annoy McMahon and McMahon would probably suddenly shut down ideas and stuff. So maybe, I think we should... Bruce is a complicated fellow. He's obviously a political mastermind in the industry in terms of...
genius.
Just sort of playing agendas off of people and never really falling out with people, but he somehow manages to rise to the top of a company over the course of just over a year. And I think we shouldn't underestimate him as a potential Trojan horse for good. Mm-hmm. WWE will always be Vince McMahon's baby, and he is the ultimate yes or no sayer to a lot of the angles and creative we see. However, Bruce might be able to work within those confines better than Heyman, who was always going to combust and self-implode. And what we said, this isn't new. We said this a year ago at the time.
Yeah. The reason why we've got this title as well is that you and I were discussing on the morning meeting, you know, sort of our thoughts on Raw, because like broadly, you know, broad strokes, this episode of Raw, I don't mind the McMahon-Pritchard shotgun approach of just like boom, 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 segment, 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 match for 2 minutes, segment, segment. Like, I don't mind it, to be honest. And it does have this sort of like fun, chaotic flow and sort of like, you know, the story long narratives and stuff. I'm just not invested in any stories at present. I think that's the problem I have with Raw at the moment, is that I'm not really invested in Dolph versus Drew, because I'm never going to buy Dolph as a contender. I'm really not into the Street Profits versus Andrade Garza now, because, well, why would I be at this point? They just got beat 2-on-1 and they keep infighting. And like, there's the only thing I'm really interested in at the moment is Sasha Asuka, because Sasha and Bayley are so great. Asuka's so great, but I don't think they've done a particularly great job presenting Asuka. But we talked about this a little bit, and you said that on Reddit, the feedback to the show was really positive. Everyone was saying, as the title of this is, that the Pritchard McMahon era is better than Heyman's.
So far, a lot of people and a lot of upvoted comments were like, I'm enjoying this more than the Heyman stuff over the last couple of months. You know, again, we should put a big asterisk next to that and say maybe that was just because Vince was turning down more Heyman stuff. And there was obviously coronavirus threw a lot of plans into disarray.
Yeah.
But yeah, you said on Twitter the reaction was the opposite.
Yes. So I've gone through like the react. So I put up a tweet about how the Ruby Riott hasn't won a match since February last year and is currently on Raw since her comeback 0-11. Which is not a great run. I know she was out for a lot of 2019, but
the streak.
But the feedback I got to that was like, you know, Ibrahim, who gets in touch with the podcast a lot, said this Raw was really bad except for the Seth stuff and the main event. Conservative Ginger said the entire episode of Raw was hot trash this week, another week of what seems to be the burial of the top female champion. And so I also went through the YouTube comments for your review to see if I could find the, you know, some people who were being positive about the show. And I'll be honest, the majority of it was people not liking it. Atoa said, painfully boring to sit through. Already hate the Bruce Pritchard era with part-timers as the main stars. Big Show has around 4 segments. That's all you need to know. Mark Farley said, turned it off after 5 minutes. Dashy45 said, 3 out of 4, not great this week. The only one I could find, the only positive comment I could find, was from Robert McCarthy, who said, I really think Raw is better these past 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's look, me and Luke, we spoke earlier. We both have the same opinion. This was an all right show.
Perfectly fine. It was just so fine. Like, I know I got up at 5:45 to watch it because I got sunburn over the weekend and I couldn't really sleep. So I don't know if that affected my mood, but when I was watching, I was like, this is the same show we got last week, basically. And it feels like it's the same show we've had for the last 3 weeks. And I'm just not really invested in the storylines at the moment.
Yeah, it's just interesting how, you know, some comments on Reddit, the most upvoted ones were, what, this is really fun. This is a really good bit. And then, you know, Twitter and YouTube is more like, this is one of the worst episodes of the year. And then me and you sit here and be like, middle of the road, really, by Raw standards.
It was perfectly fine. Like, you know, that second hour flew by.
You know what? Maybe it's symptomatic of a tribalistic, argumentative nature that's been fostered in social media. I don't know. Maybe it is okay to just think something is blur or in the middle. Although Eurovision was a piece of crap.
I was going to say, unless it was the Woken Matt Hardy match that was on Raw, because I was not allowed to think that was fine.
No, you've got to have an opinion one way or the other. Otherwise, you will be hounded. We'll go through the whole episode in a second, do the play-by-play after a few of your super chat thoughts. Of course, getting your super chats, we'll answer every single one of them on the show. But yeah, well, there was good stuff on this show. I actually, you know, the Asuka Sasha stuff was really good. I'm really, really excited for their match, actually. And I know Asuka, it's another weak performance. She lost when she really needs some strong wins. However, it's not like she's losing to Charlotte. We all like Sasha Banks, don't we? She's been booked really strongly this last month. I'm really into her.
And isn't it weird how Sasha Banks has been booked on SmackDown, NXT, and Raw, and no one really minds? Like, everyone's fine by that. Like, what they were doing with Charlotte. And everyone was like, oh my God, overexposed. She's pushed to the moon. Hate seeing her. Sasha Banks is on NXT this week. And everyone was like, great. Cannot wait to see her on NXT this week.
It all depends on how the people are portrayed and received by the fans. Look, Drew McIntyre is getting some of the best Roman Reigns booking that Roman Reigns ever had. And it works for Drew. It was so frustrating to live through with Roman because Roman just didn't connect with people in the same way that Drew has. But yes, we will go through all the stuff. The Andrade and Angel Garza nonsense is ridiculous. And the United States title picture is a little bit problematic. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Before we get into all of your super chats, we've got a bumper Patreon shout out thing, so everyone who gives $25 a month or more to our Patreon gets a shout out on this show. And it's the end of the month, so we've got a crap load to do. Also, if you're not a patron already, or even if you are, for $10 a month or more, our Wrestle Talk After Dark podcast went up there yesterday.
Oh yeah, in which we talk about Ollie hates Will Ferrell movies.
I love Will Ferrell movies, but we worked it out. We went through his filmography. He hasn't made a good one for 10 years.
Come on, mate. I'm trying to get that clickbait title. Ollie hates Will Ferrell movies. He thinks he's a hot garbage person.
I take
a Disney quiz about which Disney kingdom that I should live in from a BuzzFeed article that came out like 20 years ago.
That was good.
It was a really bad quiz as well. What else did we talk about? I tried to do push-ups, which it turns out I can't do. And you and Laurie try to coach me through that. Laurie gives his thoughts on the Pokemon controversies that have come out as of late about the new game. He talks about the PS5 release as well. It was a lovely time with the boys, and it was always is doing Rust Talk After Dark. Plus, if you think, God, I'd like to hear them swear a lot, then that's the podcast for you, because it's the podcast where we do. So let's shout out some of our $25 a month or more pledge hammers who will have heard that. Also, over on WrestleTalk Clips, there will be some sneak peeks of that podcast going up tomorrow in video form.
Let's fire through these because we've got a heck load. Jordan, don't you dare call me Mountain Dew. Woo!
I won't. Living in the past, Kieran Pryor.
It's High Noon, Matthew McCready.
Oh, yeah. Benjamin, always the bridesmaid, never the McBride.
Send me to heaven, Evan Reich.
Oh, Evan, great Scott.
The Anomalies, Warren.
CJ Warren, indeed. Groovy, Dylan Powers.
Ashley from Cork.
Yeah, she is. Mr. Patreon 1000, Mike Perry.
Well done, Mike Perry. Full of flavour, Sean Blanford.
What a guy. The only French guy that watches wrestling, Kano Mac.
The Shockmaster, Austin Schrock.
That's the Shrockmaster, Austin Schrockmaster. Robert F. Dangerously.
Yes. The Dijon Mustard.
Yes. Dan Pierce the Veil.
The Juan and only Gabriel.
Nerf this, Eva Martinez.
Pledge Hammer Power, Hero in the Half Shell.
The Joker, David Heath.
Pull the Powerhouse Beef. Macklin Jr. I thought that was a second name.
Scary Jose Irizarry? Irizarry? I'm so sorry.
And definitely not Daniel Odom backwards, Modo Leonard.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you. And thank you, as always, for our wonderful moderators who are full of Modiclorians. Jenna, the mod mothers in there. Matt Nenick, Field, Bumhead, Rob, Garage Art with a V, Les, usually. Thank you all so much. You are terrific. see what you guys said. Wilson Simons. Personally, I disagree with the title. I really like how Paul Heyman was building up stars, and I really wanted to see Heyman book a babyface Nakamura.
That would have been fun. Yeah, that would have been really good. But yeah, it is, you know, it's the various different mindsets, really. As Pritchard's goal is to get ratings, which is why we had Christian in his first match. It's why Big Show is back. It's different approaches to this. They're not interested. It's short-term thinking, which I don't overly agree with.
Do you think there is a world that can have exciting television like the Christian stuff, like Big Show doing his bits and Ric Flair suddenly turning on people and building new stars at the same time?
Of course.
Why can't we have both?
No, you have to have, it's like an opinion. You have to have, it has to go one of two ways. It can't be in the middle.
Will HM, sorry, but this version of Raw has no longevity.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a very good point, because there is a big element of hotshot booking from Vince. Plus, I don't even think Pritchard is immune from his own 3-week push. he's had 20, 30 years of dealing with Vince McMahon professionally, but I think even Vince could run out of patience with him.
Well, let's be honest. An investor's call will come up again. You know, it's only 3 months until the next one. So there'll be another one for him to he'll need to find another sacrificial lamb.
You know, not everything is someone else's fault. Is
it? All the time. When I was talking to Russellnomics about this, and I asked him the question, do investors believe what Vince is saying? When Vince is saying, like, it's this lad's fault, it's this lad's fault, it's this lad's fault, do they believe them? And he was like, pretty much, because the investors haven't bought into WWE, they've bought into Vince. So as long as Vince is still there and Vince is telling them something, yeah, they just believe him. If Vince says things are going to be fine, they're like, cool, we believe you, Vince.
Oh, we've got a positive one from Dylan from Cork. Hey, Dylan from Cork. Credit where credit is due. Raw was pretty good this week. How long that will last is another question. Asuka versus Banks is going to be insane.
To steal a line from yourself this morning, it has to be the main event of Extreme Rules, the horror show. Because it's the most captivating story that they've currently got on Raw, and I'm so invested in their characters. It 100% should be the main event.
Yeah, so the other title matches are Braun versus Bray, obviously going to be a cinematic match. I think that's quite a nice middle-of-the-show headliner, those sorts of pre-produced things, just like how Fiend and Cena was. You've got Dolph versus Drew. I love Drew, but Dolph is, you know, there's no business main eventing the show that match.
No.
And Nikki Cross versus Bayley. So out of those, I mean, this is... Asuka versus Banks should go on. I think we're past the point now where it should be women are main events in a pay-per-view. It should just be the best match, or whoever WWE wants to push enough should main event the show.
Completely. Completely.
Just like when we got Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe as the main event last year at Backlash, I think.
Extreme. Was it Backlash? Yeah, it wasn't last year. It was the year before, I think.
Yeah, but that was like no titles were attached to it. It was just the one they wanted to put on last because things.
And it so was the why worst can't they on the card as well?
Yeah, why can't they do that with Banks and Asuka?
Can I just read out one super chat before we get into the main show? Because I just feel it kind of ties into what we were just talking about there from Ben Isaacs, who said, let's be honest, Big Show versus Randy Orton will be the main event of Extreme Rules, the horror show.
Oh, no.
I mean, he's got a point, though. He's got a point.
Yeah. Because it's got to be Randy versus Drew for SummerSlam, I reckon.
Well, this is it. Like, you know, the report that we had from Louis Dangor that we talked about on the WrestleTalk podcast on Friday with Alex was that Randy is pitching for it to be him and Ciampa or him and Cole, but Raw is low on heels at the moment. And it doesn't help that Jinder's out as well. Like, they were clearly positioning him to be in this sort of Dolph Ziggler role. So yeah, I could 100% them being like, nope, Randy versus Drew really should be. And to be honest, Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre does feel like more of a SummerSlam main event than Randy Orton versus Tommaso Ciampa. No disrespect to Ciampa, but Randy versus Drew has way more appeal than Randy versus Ciampa.
Yeah, definitely. And to be honest, it's best for Drew. So I think, as awesome as Ciampa or Orton would be, hold that off till Survivor Series or an NXT TakeOver. SummerSlam should be McIntyre Orton. So this week's episode of Raw opened on a brawl. Oh my God, it's pandemonium in the Performance Center. Samoa Joe's there trying to do this dual contract signing. So both the men's and women's titles have a table segment. I think Drew even tweeted beforehand, this is not going to go well because contract signings always end in scuffles. You've got two contract signings. So of course, it was already underway. Asuka and Sasha Banks and Bayley were all brawling.
You could say it was always going to be a horror show.
So that happened. And then so they were all fighting. And then, you know, people, referees, officials were trying to pull them apart. And then Dolph Ziggler's music hit. And that was the thing that needed to calm everyone down. And everyone just went, and they just sat down normally.
It was like, oh God, Dolph's coming out for a promo, isn't he? Oh God, it should have been me. It's the same promo he's been cutting now for the last 5 years.
Yeah, to be hypercritical, that was so artificial and stupid. And then like Drew came out as well. They had a really calm back and forth promo, you know, just because they don't really have a feud at the moment. It's very low level stuff. And Drew sort of says, well, you get to pick the stipulation for our match at Extreme Rules. And before Dolph could answer with one, the scuffles began again.
Yeah. I was kind of like, so Dolph's whole point was that, you know, you left, your dream kind of died and you had to go away and you've been working to come back and get into this position and I'm going to take that away from you. But while you were gone, I was here, you know, being employed? Like, that's what your big claim is?
But that's quite rare in the last few months in WWE. Yeah,
very true. But I was like, it's one of those annoying moments where I wish that WWE would acknowledge that there was wrestling outside of their bubble, because Drew's excellent retort would have been, yeah, I went away and I was champions all over the world. Like, how awesome does that make him sound? That he was a champion all over the world while Dolph was lounging in mediocrity. But instead he has to be like, no, I came back and I achieved my dream. I didn't go anywhere. I went into exile for 9 years.
Yeah, and even maybe take a jab back at Dolph saying like, well, maybe you should leave too, mate.
Yeah.
Because everyone's been saying that for years and years and years. Ziggler needs to freshen himself up. Sasha had a few nice lines in this as well. I really liked, she seems reinvigorated in this feud. Now she's on Raw saying that she's going to get two belts and that her and Bayley aren't just going to take over both rosters. They're going to take over the whole damn company.
I said this to Alex on the Friday show. I'm actually pulling for Sasha to win here. I want Sasha and Bayley holding all the belts. I'd love that. Love, love, love that.
Yeah, it would suck for Asuka. Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't mind that either. Then this set up a mixed gender tag match for the main event of the show. Sort of a, you know, for Extreme Rules last year with that. With that great intergender match.
I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, that was bad, wasn't it?
So after that, we got 100 things happening across two segments. Angel Garza is flirting with the female referee. I can't remember her name. And then Jessica Charlie Caruso,
Hines,
and then Charlie Caruso comes in and says, oh, were you flirting with her? And, you know, as if she's a bit jealous. And then Zelina Vega says, no, blah, blah, blah. Gonna beat the Viking Raiders, so we're the number one contenders. And then Big Show walks in and says, actually, I'm next. So I've got to do this promo. Big Show comes down to do a promo. Zelina Vega and Andrade and Angel Garza come out, interrupt Big Show. Then Ric Flair interrupts everyone, says that Big Show has a cartoon on Netflix. And then the Viking Raiders come out and beat up Garza and Andrade, and then we get that tag match.
Yeah. And you think, like, wow, what a long half hour, 45 minutes. Like, no, that was at most 15, like maybe even 10. It was a lot happened in a short space of time.
Yeah. It was like, I don't mind that. It's not my personal tastes, but it certainly made it zip along quite fast. That the main problem I have in this is that Ric Flair is there during a performance center outbreak. It's absolutely just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah,
like Orton could be there to cut a promo for. Like, you don't need Flair there.
Well, plus, like, Vega was already cutting the promos. There were quite enough promos in this segment. But Flair did tease that Orton will attack when Orton wants to. And no Orton on the show at all, actually, in the end. He didn't attack.
He did not. We'll get that next week. We've got a recap of Liv losing and her interaction with Ruby Riott. And that led to a segment with Ruby texting and the Iconics walked up and said she's got no friends. Ruby said, hey, you blew your tag title shot and challenged one of them to a match later on. And then we cut to Andrade and Garza arguing more. Then Ric Flair walks up to them again and asks to have a meeting. And I mean, you highlighted this brilliantly in your review, but this Andrade Garza storyline is hot trash. That's it, just flits between one segment to the other.
I just thought we were done with this last week when Zelina Vega said, no, they're on the same page now, they're gunning for the tag titles. I'm like, okay, now we can move past all this nonsense infighting, which they've already combusted once, remember, with Austin Theory when he was part of the gang. So what we didn't actually talk about the end of the match.
Oh, yeah.
Angel Garza and Andrade start to infight during the match. A match that's, you know, for the number one contendership. And Andrade walks off. Angel Garza gets the Angel Clippers win. And Andrade's angry at Garza for getting them the win. And then they're arguing backstage. And honestly, Ric Flair walks up and that everyone just goes... It made them look like such goofballs.
Yeah, it didn't work for me either. Poor old Viking Raiders as well. Like, they lost to a team that couldn't get on. Like, they essentially, they lost when they had such an advantage. So, yeah, really, really sucks to be them. Yeah, so Garza hit the wind clipper for the win. And Andrade was really upset about that.
How much more fun would their tag team be if they were just... obnoxiously getting along.
I know, right?
It'd be a credible threat and there'd be an enjoyable screen presence, but they're genuinely getting go away heat from me. It's the worst thing on the show.
Their
constant bickering.
Kira Tozawa versus R-Truth for the 24/7 championship. Like,
that
actually
is what it is.
You know what? I mean, I've written here, Truth wins. He beats up a ninja, tries to pin him, he kicks out. Like, so yeah, I completely take that back. It was 90 seconds of screen time, including entrances.
Yeah. After that, MVP and Bobby Lashley cut a promo backstage talking about MVP's match with Cruz later on. And then they walk off and they walk past Seth and Buddy, who have their own little bit. And then they walk out for the next segment. So it was a bit of, you know, Alfonso Cuarón, Birdman staging. But I liked it. I thought it worked. We always talk about wanting the backstage area to feel like an interconnected, living, breathing reality. I thought that accomplished it.
There you go. Ollie Davis compared Kevin Dunn to Alfonso Cuarón.
They're in the same league, aren't they?
Birdman, Raw, you know.
So Seth Rollins comes out next. And I thought this was actually really, really good, this whole segment. He's got a purple Lucha mask, and he says, I want your forgiveness, Ray, building it up like Seth's done something wrong, as he has, you know, blinded Ray. But then he says, not for what I've done, but for what I'm going to do to you. I thought it was a really, really nice bit of material. And then we get Rey Mysterio and Dominic interrupt on the Titantron, and Aleister Black and Humberto Carrillo come out to face Rollins and Murphy.
Yeah,
you get a pretty decent match.
I love how you described them as their sort of physical avatars, because they can't be, they're Skyping in for this episode, but it's okay. We've got our physical avatars in the form of Aleister Black. And
they're controlling them.
Yeah.
They've got little PS2 controllers playing Here Comes the Pain at home. I really, really liked, well, the match was good. One of the things we didn't talk about last week, all the matches were rubbish, really, because they went way too short. They were championship matches. But this week, I thought all the in-ring action was fun.
Well, yeah, they basically just skipped over, you know, the first 10 minutes of a match and just went to the final five. And so everyone was basically just running around hitting all their big moves and stuff. Not saying that's a bad thing either. You know, it's a TV match. You save the big stuff for the pay-per-view. So, yeah, worked absolutely fine for what it was. And everyone was like, I've got so many notes for this match because they did so much stuff in the short space of time that they had. And the finish sort of came out of nowhere with Rollins getting the stomp on Carrillo for the win. Decent stuff. Yeah, I really enjoyed this.
But yeah, the bit I liked the most was the post-match where that you can see the wheels turning in Seth's head and he gets that purple lucha mask. He puts it on Carrillo and then again tries to blind Carrillo by putting his eye onto the corner of the steel steps. I just thought it's just a really great subtle bit of storytelling. It's a message to Ray. There's a sort of, you know, sacrificial element to Seth's cult leader character that he's, you know, hurting the avatar, almost like he's a life-size, what do you call them, voodoo doll. Mm-hmm. I really, really like this.
Yeah, I was a big fan of this segment. Like, along with the Asuka Sasha stuff, this is my favorite part of Raw at the moment, is this Seth storyline. I'm really, really, I'd like to see more of Ray on the show, rather than him sort of scoping in from various different offices that he has around his house. He's got loads of different places that he tries to Skype in from. Tries to, you know, vary up the backgrounds that he's got. But yeah, I'd like to see some interaction between them. But, you know, we've got a couple of weeks before we get to Extreme Rules, the horror show.
He is selling an eye injury.
He was on TV last week.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Then we got Drew and Asuka talking backstage. That was quite cute. A recap of the Undertaker appreciation ceremony on SmackDown, which went on for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, we didn't get to, you know, we don't do the SmackDown podcast. It's for Marks. And yeah, I thought the roster doing the thank you Taker thing was well cringe. Yeah. But as pointed out by Sean Rossap, the funniest thing about it was Cesaro and Nakamura not trying, like really doing it so half-assed in the background was really funny. But yeah, it's when we did the news story last week after the last ride, the final part of the last ride, which I still haven't seen yet, came out that he's retired. We still had quite a few people getting in touch to be like, he's not retired. He hasn't retired. Like, you're reading too much into this. This is bad reporting on your part that he's not retired. I'll be honest with you. I mean, he's retired, right? Like, they kept saying that was his last match. So unless this is one ginormous work, in which case I feel like we're wasting TV time.
Yes. Well, then it's the pop a rating. I don't think he's retired at all.
He'll be especially back for Saudi matches to do. Yeah.
He'll be back for Saudi matches. He'll be back for cinema matches.
Yeah,
this was just to pop a rating. It's, you know, it's McMahon. he's lying to get ratings. But it's, is McMahon, it lying breaking, or is it just is it telling stories? It's like how Fargo is based on a true story.
I mean, it's card subject to change. The card said he's retiring, and it's subject to change.
Yeah. After that, we got Lana approaching Ruby backstage to talk about the power of Natalya. And
she's a bad actor.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, Lana's good in the right role, but not this role.
Well, I was rewatching the Bobby Lashley stuff for a video that we never actually got to do in the end. But I did watch like every segment that they did. And she was the best thing in that storyline. I, you know, in hindsight, she really was the best part of that storyline because she was the one who was actually giving some effort and she was really trying to get it over. But then you kind of give her this dialogue and she just all of a sudden becomes really bad.
It's bad. It's bad material. I don't know how much we can, you know, sort of criticize. Oh, she is a trained actor, though. Or she did acting. I don't know if she's trained. But yeah, she approaches Ruby. I imagine Natalya was meant to be on in some way. But of course, Tyson Kidd was sent home because he had a fever. Not coronavirus, but, you know, you've got to be safe, and anyone who is showing symptoms like that should be sent home. And because he lives with Natalya, his wife, she was also sent home.
Do you think that there is, not on the Tyson Kidd thing, but do you think there is a potential problem in Seth Rollins' character being this locker room leader, messiah character, Bayley and Banks being this SmackDown locker room leader, role model character, and Natalya being this locker room leader, messiah character for the women's division? Like, that's These are the three people doing, or four people even, doing the same character.
Yes, I agree. I've written here, that's Seth's gimmick? but it's... I quite like that they're giving stuff to the women's division, so I'm a sort of beggars can't be choosers mentality here. I'm like, well, it's something, and it's better than what Lana was doing before.
When you're right, you're right.
Then we get a recap of Asuka versus Charlotte. There were a lot of recaps on this show. I got the sense that they were filling time because a lot of the tapings were problematic over the last week. So I don't know if that's why, but it was very recap heavy. And then we got the Peyton Royce versus Ruby Riott match. Their backstage segment earlier, I thought was really good. I thought Ruby came across great. I thought the Iconics, as always, they're so funny. They came across great. But then in this match, which was fine, you know, it was Peyton Royce essentially squashing Ruby. It works for the story they're trying to tell, because I imagine Ruby can't do anything unless she's in the team again with Liv Morgan, in the Riott squad. But it's not a story I like, and it's not a story I think works, because Ruby just has this awesome look. I want her to come out against the heels full of piss and vinegar, but instead she is worked over by Peyton Royce for 2 minutes, gets a brief comeback, and then loses, and then cries. And I thought it made her look lame.
I am going to use your own line against you. Beggars can't be choosers. I'm just glad to see that Ruby Riott and the Iconics are getting stories. And at least this might actually lead for something for Liv to do. So beggars, I don't think it's the right call, but beggars can't be choosers. And at least they're getting something now.
Speaking of at least they're getting something, Andrade and Angel Garza got two matches.
Yeah,
two matches to play their rubbish story lineup.
And the number one contenders to the Raw Tag Team Championships lost a 2-on-1 handicap match to the Big Show, because the Big Show is a bigger show star. And I, as soon as this match was booked, I was like, oh no, because you're not going to beat Big Show here if he's feuding with Randy Orton. So why beat your number one contenders? And if you're going to beat your number one, if you're going to beat Garza and Andrade, don't make them the number one contenders then. Like, it's so backwards.
Yeah, this is sort of the quite obvious nail in the coffin for the tag division and how this era doesn't care about tag wrestling. Not that it was getting a super push in the Heyman bit. It was relegated to a bunch of ridiculous skits between the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. But here, I was holding out hope that Randy Orton would strike, because it was a Chekhov's gun that was set up earlier and that would lead into Big Show losing. I don't know if in their heads they think, well, we need to keep Big Show strong for Orton. So that means, but we'd unfortunately booked this match, this handicap match against Garza and Andrade. So we need to give Garza and Andrade a reason to lose. Let's bring back the infighting from last week, because that's what led to the loss.
Yeah, totally. They fully believe that these two were protected in this loss because they beat themselves effectively, because their infighting cost them the match. Not the Big Show. I mean, Big Show was basically dominating anyway, and they didn't want to fight him. But yeah, I think the out that they've got is they lost the match for themselves.
Which doesn't make anyone look good. And it really, really damages your number one contenders.
Well, does this make Big Show the number one contender now to the Raw tag titles?
Him and Nicholas. So after that, I thought that was the worst thing on the show, by the way, by quite some way.
Oh, can I actually say what my favorite thing on the show was? It was Peyton Royce's brainbuster thing. It was wicked.
Yeah, that's what she won with. Yeah, I agree. So after this, we get Ricochet, Cedric Alexander. Nice to see them back on TV again. Backstage with Apollo Crews. I guess you could just say babyface is going to babyface, right? Just babyfaces hanging out together. And then R-Truth comes in and talks about some nonsense about the 24/7 title. And then Apollo comes out for his match against MVP with Bobby Lashley in MVP's corner. And they actually have a really decent match, I thought. Really liked it. And then there's Bobby Lashley beats up Cruz afterwards. This brings down Ricochet and Alexander for the save. Ricochet and Bobby Lashley have a match, which was also really good, I thought. And then Lashley wins.
I didn't like the Ricochet-Lashley match. I know like a few, and I've seen there's a super chat that's come in saying they loved the match. I you know, and maybe this is just because I hate seeing Rick being a job guy, but like that's all there was. And it was that's all I could think while I was watching this. Was like, my, you've got Ricochet signed to your company on the main roster on Raw, and this is what you're doing. It's just, yeah, you're a job guy for the bigger lad. Just made me feel really, really sad for Ricochet. And just thought, what a waste. What an absolute waste of a talent you've got there. So yeah. while it was well worked and Ricochet played his role well, I don't think that's the role that Ricochet should be playing.
Yes, I totally agree. I don't know why the hill I'm choosing to die on this week is Ruby Riott. because that should have been a more competitive match. I don't know. I've got this beggars can't be choosers mindset here. I really like seeing Ricochet wrestle when the guy is selling.
Yeah.
And he was just being chucked around by Bobby Lashley, which is a lot of Lashley as well. It's not all Ricochet. You know, we should applaud Bobby for how far he can throw people and for Ricochet of how many flips he can do in those throws. And Ricochet's comeback. Oh, I was like, oh my God, I have missed Ricochet wrestling singles matches.
You should probably watch main events.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so what was awkward here? It was sort of like a lot of WWE's diversity has just been lumped into one segment, which is, you know, that's fine. It felt a bit subconsciously pigeonholing. On behalf of the bookers.
I get what you mean. Yeah. Kind of in the same way that they put Asuka and Kairi Sane together as a tag team. Not because creative had nothing for them. It's just that, well, I guess you go together, you know?
Yeah.
And let's not forget New Day, who are now like the longest reigning faction in WWE history, were put together for that reason. It's like, well, you three are African-American, so you're a tag now. And you're the new Nation of Domination.
So I, you know, at best, I think it's well intentioned, because they're like, yeah, let's give everyone something to do, but it's not playing the best. Overall, I am so into MVP.
Oh yeah, I love this. Like him and Lashley together are so great, and like Lashley, as I said, I'm not a fan of them using Ricochet in this manner. I think Ricochet should be, you know, he was challenging for the WWE title not a few months ago.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah. But good man, Bobby's great. He's so good. And his like viciousness in this match, bleeding from the ear, like he's Orange Cassidy. And he's just like the like intensity in the eyes was just like, oh, I'm going to kill this poor kid. And he did. Like when he locks in that full Nelson, I think the full Nelson is such a lame 80s trope, but he's made it work. He's probably the only wrestler in the history that has made the full Nelson look good.
Yeah, it's I think everyone here, there's so much talent in this segment. And I can't believe I'm most into MVP. You know, of all the surprising things to happen in 2020, who would have thought that MVP would have been one of the best mid-card acts in Raw?
Yeah.
It's a low-key surprising thing to have developed.
Particularly when he announced he'd retired.
Yes, several times. Also, on the subject of Bobby Lashley, if you haven't already, folks, go over and subscribe to Parts Funknown, our other wrestling channel, because this week, Adam Blompier will be doing a fantasy booking, how Adam would have booked Bobby Lashley's WWE return.
Yeah, I'm sure sisters.
That I don't know how they can improve on it. Yep. I said, are you sure? Because that's one of the most well-regarded returns to a company ever.
Got it right first time.
And he said, no, I'm a smart ass. So after that, there was more recaps and the main event of Drew McIntyre and Asuka versus Dolph Ziggler and Sasha Banks.
Everyone got into at the end. Again, this was like, you know, just cut to the final 5 minutes of the match. It did get an ad break, like, and Banks got the hot tag in. Bayley did some distractions. Drew got a hot tag. And in the end, Banks pinned Asuka. And I really don't think that Asuka lost much in this match because she was standing tall with Drew at the start of this. I thought she actually looked really good throughout the match. But it was Banks got a sort of almost a fluke win over her. She beat her on this night. This is not in the same realm as Charlotte dominates for 90% of the match and then Asuka gets a fluke win with the armbar because Nia Jax had hurt her earlier in the night. I thought Asuka actually looked pretty good here. This is actually the best that she's looked in a while. And Sasha pinning her is to set up their match down the line. I didn't mind it at all, actually. I thought it was a really decent main event. I'm still like, there is no way you're going to convince me that Dolph Ziggler should be in the WWE title picture. But I thought Sasha was great. I thought Asuka was great. I thought Drew was great. And Bayley on commentary is just a joy to behold. When she did the na-na-na-na-na-na-na thing, I was like, God, that's lame. And then Asuka fell for it. And Bayley was like, who falls for that? Like, I did this. It's so stupid. Who would actually fall for that? What an idiot. And I was like, God, you're the best and I love you in this heel role.
Yeah, Bayley was really, really good on commentary. Yeah, I totally agree. I think in isolation, this main event worked perfectly for what they're trying to achieve. Unfortunately, it would be so much better if Asuka had been booked as a really strong champion for the month preceding it.
100%. 100%.
So when, you know, it was a really exciting exchange of submissions near the end. Asuka lock into bank statement, Asuka lock, bank statement, roll up. Like that made me so excited for their eventual pay-per-view match. But it does, while I'm happy for Sasha because she's been on a tear recently, and I think she's finally getting that sort of main roster character presentation that we all hoped for when she was called up 4 years ago. I would be lying if I wasn't also a bit like, Asuka lost again.
Yeah, totally.
I've got a shout out to Drew as well. I just think Drew is amazing. There was a great bit where Sasha Banks squares off to McIntyre. Like, they made me want to see McIntyre versus Banks, genuinely, just by that. And Dolph Ziggler gets on the apron behind Drew, and Drew, not even looking, just reaches behind him and punches Dolph off the apron. Brilliant.
Absolutely amazing. He is so, so great. So, so great.
Just talking about that main event segment, that made me think I really enjoyed the episode. But the Andrade and Garza stuff was absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, I would say it was very much an average show. I think you gave it a high average.
Yeah, because I did. I was so into the main event by the end of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's absolutely fair enough. I would definitely go average because, like, as I said, for the I just sort of think Raw's fine at the moment. And it's absolutely fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just not really invested in a lot of the storylines and or characters. But, hey, do you know what? Like, I think it is showing. Some people are really enjoying this period of Raw. Gorilla Position, we're talking about how, you know, they've been enjoying Raw so much more in these last few weeks than they have been all year. So there are those people out there who are really, really enjoying this era of Raw. And I don't think that they're wrong for thinking that. And I would be too, I think, if I was just more invested in more of the storylines.
Ben Isaacs, honestly, I was shocked that Carrillo allowed himself to get masked, considering he lost a lucha de apuestos in Mexico, and he usually respects that.
Well, he didn't put on his own mask.
Yeah, I think that's okay. It was more of an angle. Yeah, I think that's okay. E-Jam King, hi guys, love your constant content. Not consistent, but constant.
Nice.
Should Seth's group get a lady to join him, maybe Liv Morgan, instead of doing nothing or becoming a tag team?
I think Liv's going to be going into a tag team back with Ruby Riott, by the looks of it. But yeah, we've said this many times before, but I don't think Seth's group needs more members at the moment. Like, you know, Austin Theory wasn't there this week, but I didn't look at that group thinking like, God, that needs more members.
Yeah. AOP are still technically members. Josh Kirsch again. I'd like to see Bobby have a long US title run.
Yeah.
I will go one better. I genuinely wouldn't mind him being the WWE champion and then facing Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely agree.
Especially if MVP was US champion. What a super faction that would be. Michael Dominguez, Raw was pretty solid. Hashtag 3 week push.
There it is, 3 weeks.
Lester Wink 23, Flair and Big Show together on Raw. What year is it?
1995.
You should have seen the one where it had Christian and Randy Orton too. And Nate S, Sasha beats Asuka. Charlotte beats Bayley and Sasha in a handicap match at SummerSlam for all the belts. The path is set. Face palm emoji. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam indeed. Yeah, actually, do you know what? Like, Bayley and Sasha and Asuka in a triple threat match would be really good to set up that Bayley-Sasha match. Having said that, though, and I said this on Friday's show as well, I don't want them to have that match at SummerSlam anymore. I like them so much as a team, I don't want to see them split up.
Rose89, did anyone notice the second lady ref? During the Ruby Royce match, she was African-American.
Yeah.
Sucks it probably cut from the Hulu feed like she never happened. I didn't see.
Yeah, yeah, they've got two. Else. Yeah, they've got two female referees now.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's fantastic. I can't believe there was such a controversy when the first one was introduced. Nate S, Peyton's finisher looked great. Love the iconics.
Iconic. So good. Billy Kay on the outside is just gold.
Have you seen the iconics going round to loads of the roster about Billy Kay's birthday?
Is this a new one?
It came out last week, I think.
Oh, okay. Because like the stuff that they were doing last year when they were the tag champions, like telling everyone about their side plates was so good. It should have been on TV. But if they got a new one of them sort of about Billy Kay's birthday, I'm in for it.
I think it's like the 23rd of June and they're just going round to everyone going, hey, Samoa Joe, what are you doing on the 23rd of June? What's your plans, mate? And Samoa Joe will go, oh yeah, 23rd of June. Like everyone pretends to know what it is. Mm-hmm. And then, it's really funny.
Also, flawless Billy Kay impersonation.
What can I say? I'll hand over to you.
Michael Dominguez says, how are we only two pay-per-views away from WrestleMania? That's true. We've only had Money in the Bank and Snacklash.
Did you, I'd say in a news episode, I can't remember which one because they've all melded into one. I realized we are living through that scene in Interstellar. Where they go down to the planet and time moves quickly there, but it's like 20 years in the spaceship.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Christian says, what if Orton retired The Undertaker, the Legend Killer versus The Legend? The Legend Killer becomes The Legend. Imagine a last ride into an RKO.
That would be really cool if he could work it.
Sounds like a Saudi match in the making.
Yeah, you're right. I think there's a lot more intrigue in Randy going after younger guys, seeing them as potential future legends, kind of like the Minority Report version of that gimmick. Whatever.
Azo Smith, Sasha's stamp return for a contract signing from Becky in NXT was 10 million chef kisses. There's an old NXT gimmick of hers using the stamp. Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Lena Bliss, Banks might win, eventually turn on Bayley when losing the tag belt. Winner takes all at SummerSlam. I don't know if we need, like, you know, Becky two belts and sort of like one person holding all of the belts in the end, but I just want to see them hold all the gold.
Mm.
Azo Smith again said, Banks knows the first rule of female fighting, always take off your shoes. Also, we need more women's feuds where it's no lips, just fists.
No lips, just fists. Does that mean like no jaw jacking?
Maybe. Valdo Vega.
Heel. What a heel, though. Heels.
I got you. Yeah, yeah. It's very good. Valdo Vega. Hi, BBB. So, Ricochet, a.k.a. Dickochet.
Great pun. A lot of thought and effort's gone into that pun.
And he also said, Roman versus Drew, meh. Then Drew's out, Roman's Roman. Oh, then Drew out, Roman's Roman.
Yeah, well, I think that would be a really good match. If Roman Reigns was a heel, that's the perfect timeline.
I was gonna say, didn't they do it loads last year when he was feuding, like when Roman was feuding with the Dogs of War and stuff?
Yeah, probably.
Akon 22 is and with Shane, because Drew was feuding with Shane and Drew at the same time. Forgot about that until someone pointed out to me, because we've just passed the 1 year anniversary of the dumbest Raw ending ever, where Cedric Alexander revealed to be a janitor and he lost but acted like he won. Akon 22, is it just me, but I would love to see MVP, Lashley, Cruz, Alexander and Ricochet as a stable and just dominate WWE. Love your guys' channel, keep up the good work.
Yeah, I think obviously I wouldn't like them to all just be lumped together because of, you know, reasons. But I think there is a storyline justification for MVP taking these people under his wing because they've been losing.
Mm-hmm. EJM King, Drew has one of the best chops in the business.
Yeah, honestly, Drew's moveset is top to bottom awesome. An Alabama slam. Love him.
Yeah.
Michael Dominguez, Ricochet showed his strengths. Seth put over other three. I know Total holds AEW Raw to separate standards. What's a one-star show versus a five-star show for you? Yeah, so we do kind of, yeah, hold AEW and Raw in separate regards, because to be honest, every Raw would be one star if I rated it along like how I rate AEW.
Or New Japan and things like that.
Exactly. So a one-star show, there would have to be something actively damaging to, you know, like when Becky apologized to the authority. A five-star show has to have an all-time memorable angle or three incredible angles.
Yeah.
I think Batista attacking Ric Flair. Right. Just recent ones. And then, yeah, so that's why my ratings are mostly 2 to 4.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. And Joey Jello says, I love your content. What's your favorite pay-per-view from the Ruthless Aggression era?
I don't know off the top of my head, because I didn't watch that as it was happening. I guess No Way Out 04?
Oh, that's with Randy Orton.
Eddie Brock.
Yeah, what am I thinking of? I think I'm thinking of Backlash with Randy versus Mick. I don't really know. Yeah, like you, I wasn't watching Ruthless Aggression. I sort of came back in for the Cena era. So I don't know on that one, Joey. I think we need better people here to answer that question.
I'll carry on. Tim Arndt, how have you boys been this last month? I haven't been as active in the community these last 4 weeks and wanted to know how everyone's been doing. Well, it's been a rough time, to be honest. You know, the speaking out movement was just quite devastating to watch unfold. But hopefully I'm optimistic for the future of the industry if it can learn from this.
Same here.
Benny Sato, Datsun's best friend. Jam that effing jam.
Jam that jam.
Thanks, Benny Sato. David Pulaski. Hello, mates. Question. How much money would it take to raise for charity for Chopper Pete to get a neck tattoo like Cody has? Much love from Arizona.
I don't see that one happening. I mean, he does want to get more ink, but I don't think he's going to be getting any like big Nightmare Family neck tattoos.
Yeah, what would a transfer be okay?
Well, they do sell them now.
Yeah. So sorry, David, probably not happening. Rake Carpet Man. Hello, Luke. Who is the new guy with you? Also, I didn't know Andy and Pete have the same birthday. Happy birthday, boys.
Yeah, happy birthday, Randy.
And Pete. I completely forgot that was a thing we used to do. So like when people were like, oh my God, Andy shares a birthday with Pete. Yeah. My first thought was, oh no, we forgot Pete's birthday.
No. I've got a birthday tracker. Don't you worry.
Mike Ropenitz. Is Andrew old enough to drink the booze now?
Even if he was, he'd still drink the milk.
Yes. Zachary Jenkins. Ollie, where are my wrestle sketches? We sort of stopped doing them. It's quite creatively draining to come up with them. And you're the first person to have asked after them in 4 months. So, yeah, it's not like they were getting massive views either.
No.
Degenerate Forever 84. Can't wait for the best return ever. Quizzlemania.
Yeah. Good old. It's a good lineup for Quizzlemania this week as well. In fact, 1 second, I can get up the lineup for Quizzlemania. Boom! There it is. Quizzlemania 13.
Wow, my top went low cut for a moment there.
Indeed,
in my picture. Yeah, so that's, it's for Pride. It's a Pride special because it's Pride Month. And we're raising money again for Calm, the mental health charity.
I don't think
I showed this, but look, we got sent a certificate from them after our first one because we raised so much money, thanks to you all. Datrain 24. Guys, do you know what it's like to have a Pavlovian response to a normal word like jam? I can't hear it without saying jam that jam.
I thought this morning because I had peanut butter and jam on a bagel this morning. And I did think as I was stirring, because I put my peanut butter and jam into a bowl and mixed it all together at the same time, thinking, I'm jamming that jam.
Jam that jam. Lim Bell, hi fellas, when will No Roles Barred Superheroes Edition be made public? Watched it through Patreon, but this cannot be kept a secret, it's so good.
I think it's, it'll be out this Sunday, maybe?
Yes, that's the plan. If you want to watch it now, you can go over to No Roles Barred's Patreon page and, watch it there. John Marth also said something similar. I miss No Roles Barred. CB Dub. Jam that jam.
Coming back with Superheroes. Featuring a Oscar-worthy performance from yours truly.
I'll let you carry on.
Yes, for the General Super Chats / Miscellaneous. Tara Lee Yu, 2 a.m. in New Zealand, off to bed, # support rest talk, and # jam that jam. Degenerate Forever 84, hi guys, can I get a happy birthday, jam that jam?
Happy birthday.
Indeed. Happy bloody birthday. Jobber JJ, a horror show. Nothing more horror than Steiner chasing you with an axe, Lesnar chasing you with the car door, or Suzuki chasing you with a chair. Yes, it's my question from the past mailbag. # jam that jam. Yeah, he asked, if you were in a horror movie, which would you prefer? Steiner chasing you with an axe, Lesnar chasing you with a car door, or Suzuki chasing you with a chair?
Lesnar's so fast. Suzuki's terrifying, so Steiner. Because I actually think I could outrun him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's quite immobile.
And Jobber continues to say, I love my mailbag questions, soon creating a fantasy booking cinematic match between the three of them. two guys most likely going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Last minute super chat. Dylan from Cork said Roman has added to his tattoo, which now extends to his back. When he comes back, it's time to ditch that vest. His ink is too cool not to show off. But how is he going to protect the chest and use the flak jacket there for those chops?
I wouldn't mind a new look for Roman when he comes back. I think that's quite long overdue, actually.
I absolutely agreed, and bloody new music as well. Joey Jello, happy birthday, Andy. P.S. You pronounced my name wrong. I mean, we probably did it again.
Joey Gello?
Maybe. Azo Smith, I'm with Luke. Really want to see Sasha as champion. Absolutely. And Joey again. I'm not going to attempt the surname because I'm going to get it wrong for a third time. We could have Grim from GTS on Quizzlemania someday.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get anyone who's interested, really, with a following. So that'd be good.
And do you want to have the ones from the other channel as well?
Oh, yes, please.
Talk.com/support. This Raw had great tag team matches this week. I love Andrade and Garza. The infighting is annoying, but when they click, they are amazing.
Yeah, that's why it's so frustrating.
How was your weekend of socially distancing fun? We are now just 4 days away from lockdown essentially being over and done with, because pubs are going to be open. Not in Leicester, obviously, but everywhere else in the country.
Yeah, so Leicester's been naughty and then they're grounded for a bit longer than everyone else. US viewers who don't really follow the UK situation. But I'm treating... This weekend is when everything's going to reopen again to a degree. And I would never book on for the first week of secret cinema performances.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to book the second after 2 weeks in, because there's always going to be teething problems. Queues are going to be missed. Your stuff's going to get lost. You're going to be queuing for ages at the bar. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick to my drinking in car parks pattern that I've worked out.
You told this on Russell Talk After Dark. Head on over to patreon.com/Russell Talk to hear that podcast. But explain to the free feed here what you mean by drinking in car parks.
Well, there's three breweries, three pretty fancy hipster breweries within a 5-minute walking distance of my house. It's called the Walthamstow Mile, even though it's barely half a mile in it. And they've sort of been serving stuff from the front of their breweries. You can get a full pint. So last Friday, I went down there, meant to stay for 2 hours, stayed for 6, got hammered. Hello. And we just drank on a grassy mound next to a car park in an industrial estate. And, you know, there was a lot of trips around the backs of buildings because there were no toilets. Right.
So classy then.
Mm-hmm. It's actually okay because it's on sort of a forest. It backs onto. So it's not like I'm weeing on property. I'm weeing through the gate into the forest.
Which I think is fine.
Yeah.
I had my first socially distanced gathering since lockdown began. Like, this is the first time that me and my wife have actually ventured outside of the area that we live in to go see people.
How far did you go?
Well, we went to Hastings, which is a 2-hour drive away. And my eyesight's fine. But yeah, we went to Hastings to go see my sister-in-law and her boyfriend and my mother and father-in-law for a socially distanced gathering on the beach where I got sunburned.
Mm.
Impressively so, just on my knees and one half of my neck, which is very, very sore. And it was so sore this morning that I woke up 5:45 and I was like, you know what? I may as well just get up. I'm just going to go and watch Raw.
Raw, the color of your sunburn. Yeah. How tragically ironic.
So yeah, but it was kind of nice but odd to see people. Like, I think you put it really well yesterday on the After Dark podcast when you said, like, it wasn't the big sort of celebration thing that I think a lot of people were expecting it to be, which is like, lockdown is lifted, roam free, everyone. It's, you know, quite probably more sensibly doing it in drips, although, you know, pubs, because they can tax the money, but it's drips and drabs that they're sort of implementing. So we're not going to get that big sort of celebratory, you can now go see your parents and hug them again.
No, it's going to be like T.S. Eliot's Wasteland. So it's not going to end with a bang. It's going to end with a whimper. Yeah. And a slow phase in of various things you can do.
And as you said, or you saw a tweet that made you laugh, you can't have a second spike if the first one doesn't end.
Yep. We're still on that. We're still riding that first wave, folks. That was actually Casually Explained. I've just been watching so much Casually Explained on YouTube. It's one of the only things that make me and my lady partner, sorry, my partner, laugh.
Oh, mate. I mean, some people were very upset that you gave in to that email. You're too PC now. Go woke, get broke, and et cetera, et cetera.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna. I think it's time I grew up a bit.
We're in
32.
I was gonna say I turned 35 this year. It's just time to grow up a little bit, isn't it? But anyway, that is all we've got time for on this edition of the Rust Talk podcast. Sorry if it was a little bit short. We had some extra work that we had to do before we came in to record, but you got a whole hour's worth of, you know, free chat and whatnot. So hope it satisfies you. And we'll be back on Thursday for the AEW podcast. The NXT one will be there as well. And Denise Salcedo will be joining me for, or Salcedo, I believe it is, sorry, will be joining me. I always get the name wrong.
You should get that right before you introduce her.
She's on Quizlemania, so Adam's got to be the one to get it right first. So it's all good. She's going to be on the magazine show this Friday, which I'm really excited about. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.